Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
In the middle of the week, also the highlight of our week, we get to talk Buffalo Bills with Marcel Louis-Jacques covering the Bills for ESPN's NFL Nation. Check out his work at ESPN.com. Marcel, how's Wednesday treating you?
The highlight of your week, man. I'm honored. But week's been good so far.
Yeah.
I enjoyed these past 2 weeks at home. I know we got to travel again, back on the grind. But, got to enjoy what you've got.
Oh, there are worse places to be in the Nashville, Marcel. It'll be a good week for you here coming up. We were having this debate or this topic. So if it's a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, let's say, for instance, like a veteran quarterback, you don't have to worry about the practice, and he would get cleared, say, on a Friday afternoon and, yeah, Saturday, and then he's good to play Sunday. Where is that line with Josh Allen? How much practice would you think he would need this week? We're, of course, assuming that this is only under the scenario that he would get cleared under the protocol.
No, I don't think Josh Allen's quite there yet where he can just go through a week of practice without actually practicing. But the good news is it doesn't look like we're going to have to even entertain that scenario. He's out there today. He's throwing ball in individual drills. He's throwing to receivers. That would suggest he's in step four of the league's concussion protocol, which allows players to participate in football-specific activities. And that's a great sign for him, just, 3-4 days after that helmet-to-helmet hit. I think it was noteworthy that he was able to run off the field on his own power, that he had his helmet. Generally, trainers are going to take your helmet from you if there's no chance of you coming back in the game. That tells me there could have been a shot at him re-entering the game. They just didn't want to risk it. But I think it's a good sign for the moving forward. And from what I've heard, what league sources have told me, the Bills did not bring in any quarterbacks Tuesday to work out, which once again suggests that they think that he's going to be available to play. So no, he's not quite there yet where he can go through a week without actually hitting the field, but doesn't look like we're going to have to worry about that.
So Marcel, what would the minimum be then? I mean, let's assume he's limited again tomorrow and, maybe he clears protocol later in the week at a full practice on Friday. Is that enough to go ahead and start him on Sunday?
I think that is plenty enough to start him on Sunday. Yeah. Sean McDermott generally likes players to turn in at least one limited practice before they get that full clearance. But they're not in much of a rush. He's still in the meeting and he's still able to throw to receivers. He's still able to participate in those football activities. Then minus the contact, then, I mean, it's almost like he's got full clearance already. They're already not being hit. They're not being touched during a normal week on practice. So no, I think it's a positive sign for him moving forward.
We're talking to Marcel Louis-Jacques as the Buffalo Bills get ready for Tennessee. Here it is on a Wednesday, Marcel. And we still have a little bit lingering from that New England week, at least on the outside. And we can put a fine bow on what happened there. I mean, does Allen get most of the blame for what happened? If you're assessing blame, how did the New England loss occur?
Yeah, and you hate to bring that back up since he did take such a brutal shot, but a lot of that does fall on Josh Allen. We knew that New England was going to find a way to take away what he does well. That's what they do with every opponent. But his kind of almost unwillingness or failure to adjust and make smarter decisions with the ball and keep trying to be, force things to happen that just weren't there, that repeatedly put this defense in disadvantaged situations. You look at their offensive touchdown scored. I mean, they got the ball off an interception. Other than that blocked punt, New England's offense wasn't doing much. All you really had to do was not give them repeated opportunities. But even with the three turnovers from Josh and the interception from Barkley at the end of the game, I think Buffalo was in position to win that game. And you'd like to think that with Josh's mobility, that it would have opened the playbook a little bit more once they got into that red zone. But, you know, it's something to be proud of. There's obviously it's hard to see the positives and the silver linings from a loss. But when you've got the defending world champions, basically you're on their doorstep to win the game at the end of the game and you controlled most of it, I would say that you had a pretty good day.
Marcel, specifically with Allen again, you know, the decision-making is questionable. You saw it on full display against New England. You've seen it on full display at various points throughout this season already. I'm curious about, and I'm not saying wrap Josh Allen in bubble wrap. Part of what makes him dangerous is his ability to make plays with his feet, but the decisions that he makes oftentimes puts himself in harm's way, as it did on Sunday, leading to him being in the concussion protocol. You covered Cam Newton in Carolina. You know what this physicality of that kind of game can do to a quarterback, any player, long-term. Should the Bills be a little bit more, should they emphasize to Allen a little bit more the idea of making smarter decisions when it comes to his body?
I mean, absolutely. They need to emphasize making smarter decisions with your body. Sean McDermott alluded to it today that he's still young, and as players learn how to play in the NFL, it's important to figure out, one, how to be effective, and two, how to play in the interest of self-preservation, how to make sure you're on the field for as long as possible. And, you know, lowering your shoulder, it gets clicks, you know, it goes viral. Everybody loves to see it. Stadium goes crazy. But you're also susceptible to things like what we saw on Sunday. You're susceptible for these big hits, and the officials and the league are going to be less willing and less willing to kind of drop the hammer on the defender because he's turned himself into a runner. And this all ties into the grand scheme of Josh just taking what defenses give him and making a smart play. If a defense is giving you 5 yards, you don't always have to fight for 8. You know, take that 5, go down, live to fight another day. And I think these are things that he's just going to have to learn. It's unfortunate that this is how he's got to learn it. But I mean, if this is an example, is not an example for him, then I'm not exactly sure what would be.
Marcel Louis-Jacques covers the Buffalo Bills for ESPN.com. We had signs, hopefully, for return of Devin Singletary, but ended up being a game day inactive. Singletary, again, out there limited today. Marcel, what did you see? What are the chances you think he'll be back this week?
I mean, he was close to playing on Sunday, Sean told us a couple days ago. It was a little surprising to see he's limited today. You would like to see him after a full week of limited practices and close to clearance on Sunday. You'd like him to be able to be a full go. But it's a hamstring, and these soft tissue injuries are tricky. It's like, as is described to me, you put a small tear in a rubber band and it's not going to do much, but if you stretch it out, that thing's going to snap. And it's a similar mantra here with your hamstring. And with how much of his game is predicated on his lower body strength, you know, it makes sense that they wouldn't want to push it. They wouldn't want to overwork him. Based on how close he was to playing Sunday, I would expect him to be available against Tennessee, if on anything, maybe a lightened workload. But I also wouldn't be shocked if they held him for another week with the bye coming up and Miami following the bye.
Marcel, what about some of these other injuries? I think we were kind of surprised to hear that Pat DeMarco was also concussed and did not participate in today's practice. The ankle for Ty Nsekhe is worrisome, I think. You know, what do we know about some of these other injuries from today's practice?
Yeah, there is some concern over Ty Nsekhe's injuries. He's been on and off the field sporadically, really ever since training camp in the preseason. But they need that tandem between he and Cody Ford to work out, because I still think Cody looks and feels more comfortable at guard. But as he kind of learns Josh Allen's tendencies and learns how to play after, you know, protecting Kyler Murray and guys like Kyler and Baker Mayfield and so on and so forth, as he's learning how to deal with the new quarterback, you're going to see some of those mistakes flare up. and it's just kind of part of the growing process. But Tyler Croft, that's another disappointing DNP. It really seems like he was so close to playing against the Bengals in week three before, you know, taking this shot to the ankle. Didn't see Pat DeMarco leave the game. I think he was playing as he was still active and still participating as late as 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He didn't play in the Bills' offensive snaps, any Bills' offensive snaps after that, but it also, that could be by design. That could just be game plan oriented. So that was a little bit surprising. It's good to see Spencer Long back. They're going to need that offensive line depth. Good to see that Tre'Davious White was a full participant after that ankle injury he suffered. It looks like he's, you know, made a pretty quick recovery from that. So, and Taron Johnson, limited again. I can imagine it's frustrating. I know that he really wanted to play against New England last week. It just, he's not quite there yet. And it goes back to what I was saying about Devin's hamstring, is even the smallest little issue, the smallest little tear, the smallest little strain could turn into something major if you push yourself too hard. So, you know, with the bye coming up once again, I wouldn't expect anybody to play unless it is just glaringly apparent that they are fully healthy and ready for action.
Marcel Louis-Jacques covers the Buffalo Bills for ESPN.com. Marcel, we talked to your counterpart down there in Nashville. Teron Davenport joined us earlier in the show today. And you not only have to worry about Derrick Henry, but now the Titans have this semblance of a passing attack. So you're Leslie Frazier. What are you focusing on here this week? How do you come out of Nashville with the defense here trying to shut down this Titans offense that came to life last week?
Yeah, well, you start with Derrick Henry because you can't let that guy get going. If you take that run game away, I'm still not confident in Marcus Mariota as a passer, despite what these two receivers were able to do last week. And A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, they are big-bodied receivers. It's going to be a physical matchup for any of Buffalo's defensive backs, none of which I think are taller than 6 foot. But if there's one standard that Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde have set and sent to the rest of the league over the past 2 years, it's that you don't throw deep on the Buffalo Bills. Like, get that out of your game plan. It's not going to happen. So I think that would play right into their strength. I wouldn't expect Tennessee to try to attack vertically so much, but both Corey Davis and AJ Brown, once again, they're big guys. And, you know, I would expect a lot of short passes, try to get open quickly, try to use that strength and just out-muscle Tre'Davious White and Levi Wallace. But once again, it really just starts with Derrick Henry, because if you got that 6'2", 250-pound guy running for 5-6 yards every time he touches the ball, it's going to be a long day for everybody.
And that was kind of what Teron told us, Marcel, when we had him on with us last hour, that the key to stopping him is to stop him before he gets going, disrupting in the backfield. I mean, you know, will we expect to see Leslie Frazier, Sean McDermott dial up some more pressure, you know, some more blitzing, just to get in that backfield, be disruptive, not just against Mariota, but to stop Derrick Henry before he gets going?
Yeah, I agree. And to their credit, to his credit specifically, Leslie Frazier's game plans have really been able to limit some of these marquee running backs that they faced so far this year. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head any other team that's had a more difficult stretch to start the season in terms of opposing running backs. When you start with Le'Veon Bell and Saquon Barkley, Joe Mixon, James White, and Sony Michel, and none of them have really been able to get much of a run game going besides Saquon Barkley. And I mean, even most of his production was just on that opening drive. So I think that he's earned the confidence. Leslie Frazier's earned that confidence coming into this week, that no matter what an opponent's bringing to the table, Buffalo is going to be ready.
Marcel, I feel like I owe Frank Gore an apology, because when the news came across in March, Danger and I were kind of like, well, what do you need? You have this backfield, and here was Frank Gore. He's 36, and I know he keeps himself in top physical condition, but this is not the norm. And yes, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, but Marcel, I'm almost wondering if the Bills somehow end up in the postseason, Yeah, everybody's going to be pulling for Frank Gore here. Everybody loves the story of a veteran still going at in an advanced age.
Yeah, and what he's been able to do, really, it shouldn't be that surprising because of the consistent level he's been able to produce over the course of his career. And I mean, he still averaged 4.6 yards per carry with Miami last year. And, you know, it's kind of a mix of a strong offensive line play in the run game and just his shiftiness. I think he's been able to burst through that first level time and time again, and doesn't quite have that breakaway burst anymore. He nearly broke a couple against New England and did the same against Cincinnati the week before. But I think that's where Devin Singletary's presence is going to help out and kind of open things up, because right now he's still what he always has been in it. He's a between the tackles kind of runner, low center of gravity kind of runner. With Singletary's ability to stretch the edge and really start to stretch entire defense out, I think it's going to bode well for both of them come the end of the season.
Marcel, what are you working on for ESPN.com that our listeners could check out this week?
I'm doing some film study on Matt Milano. He's made a pretty triumphant return from that leg injury last year, and the guy is just all over the field. If you watch the middle of Buffalo's defense any given game, Next Gen Stats does this nifty thing where it shows you how many yards a player has traveled in any game. And usually you're going to see wide receivers and corners and safeties. The guys are running back and forth on these routes toward the top. And right smack in the middle of them is Matt Milano. And that's just from him, his ability to cover tight end, to cover running backs out the backfield. He's really been a sideline-to-sideline kind of guy for them. So going to watch some film, going to analyze how he's been able to be so effective. And that should be coming out before the weekend gets here. Then, of course, you know, we're going to be monitoring Josh Allen's situation. If I know Sean McDermott, then I wouldn't expect any official announcement until they absolutely have to, just to keep Tennessee on their toes. And like I said before in our conversation, if he's able to participate in football-specific activities, he's already not going to be hit if he's a full clear. So there's not really a much rush, tipping their hat to their opponent.
Oh, that's good stuff. Well, have fun down there in Nashville. Do you go down a little early there, at least, Marcel? Danger, you've been to Nashville. I never have. I heard it's a great town, Marcel.
No, I've actually never been outside the airport in Nashville. So heading out there Saturday morning. Drop my stuff off. I'm going right over to Hattie B's, get me some hot chicken, and, kind of let the rest of it play out. I'm not going to whatever the street is with the country music. That is kind of my idea of hell. So I'm going to try to find something else to do. It might involve a lot of eating.
Enjoy your time, Marcel. Appreciate the work you're doing for the Buffalo Bills.
As always, looking forward to next week, guys.
You got it, brother. Marcel Louis-Jacques joining us in the Sports Bar. Danger, particular. That's the one thing I didn't do. I didn't get the hot chicken when I was in Nashville. I didn't have the time. I wasn't there long enough. You know, no big deal. I just had to stop by my friend Kelly Clarkson's house for a little intimate performance, and then I had to turn around and get right back on a plane and get back to Rochester to do this show.
You looked in her fridge, didn't you?
Could you imagine Kelly Clarkson's fridge?
Stocked.
Her home, I want to say... I think the word, because they were selling it, I think the word on the street was 30 mil for the home. Yeah. Yeah, insane. Yeah, insane.
Danger, he was invited down. His other job being Mr. Music, he was invited down to, you know, she was sampling new music. Oh, come to my house. Oh. Danger's like, I got to go to Kelly Clarkson's house. You got to handle the show tomorrow yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go say hi to Kel for me.
A little performance there in her backyard, courtyard under a tent, and, you know, laid out all the food and get to hang out in her kitchen. And she had a little, like, home theater, which was an actual theater with theater seats and, you know, theater screen, the whole thing. This outdoor courtyard that was just insane. All of this property, you know, just. Come on.
Well, as far as celebrity homes you've been in, that's got to be number one.
I don't know that I've been to a finer home in my life. I have not been to a lot of celebrity homes, but that place was insane. The place was insane. It was insane. She's insane. That's my experience.
So you should go down there with Marcel then. Be that's like, hey, Cal, and call her up. Hey, I don't know if you remember me. Yeah. I was over at your house last year.
You got anything going on for a radio programmer from Rochester, New York? You know, we had that moment where we took a picture together, and then you followed it up by taking pictures with hundreds of other guys just like me. Yeah, make some time for me, babe. Let's go. Show us where to get the hot chicken. That's what we're here for. Not really you, the hot chicken.
Can you explain the hot chicken to me? Because isn't chicken supposed to be hot?
Listen, I've seen it on shows. I've never tried it, but I've seen it on a bunch of food shows where I guess it's just spicy chicken. It's just chicken, but it's, you know, we get like a spicy buffalo wing. It's one thing, but like they do it different in the South where it's just hot chicken.
Not Cajun, but spicy.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I've never tried it, but I would love to. Marcel's going to have a good time. If you missed that, if you came in late, we'll get it for you on demand shortly. Search out the Sports Bar. In the radio.com app, all of our guest appearances are listed for you right there to listen anytime, anywhere. Next in the Sports Bar, NFL appetizers. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years online at alexsribs.com.
Oh, we've got hot kicker talk. There's a kicker I'm sure that is taken in your fantasy league. Steven Gostkowski out for the year. We'll tell you who the Patriots are bringing in. We'll tell you why Gostkowski's out. Gardner Minshew, we have news about the Jags, the Chiefs, the Eagles. And, yeah, things aren't going too well in Cincinnati. We'll tell you the latest offensive player that's hurt.
That's all on the way next. NFL appetizers in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.